This is Thane Maynard. I promise you, you will never see more dynamic, breathtaking, or awe-inspiring wildlife photographs than those by Greg Dutoy from down in the South Rift Valley of Kenya. He'll join us at the Cincinnati Zoo on Wednesday, April 20th. Hi, Greg. This is Thane Maynard.
Hi, Thane. Great to hear you.
Yeah, thank you very much for taking a little time to visit with us.
No, you're very welcome, Chad. We could find a time that worked because we are on very different time zones.
That's right. Well, I think you know everybody's very excited about you coming here to show some of your photographs because they really are terrific.
Oh, fantastic. Thank you very much. I'm also very excited to come over and share my work and the story of the South Rift Valley.
And, Greg, I've been lucky to spend some time down in the South Rift Valley in the Okilarmadian area and Champoli. So I know some of the area, even some of the very animals you took pictures of, but you certainly go to greater lengths to get photos than anybody I've ever heard of.
Yeah, that's fantastic, saying that you've been to the area. It's a really very, very special area. And, the big thing for me about my photography is I photograph to share and to share the beauty and the wonder of Africa and of these special animals that I get to spend time with. But sometimes they require me to spend a little bit more time and to go a little bit further to be able to get these photographs so that I can share them and I can come over and do talks like I'm going to do at the Cincinnati Zoo.
You're famous for many of your photos. Of course, you were 2013 International Wildlife Photographer of the Year. And, you know, your new book is fantastic. Some of the photos that amaze me the most, you have one where a whole group of lions are right at the water drinking, but you have it from the water's level view. Tell a bit about how in the world you get a shot like that.
Yes, well, that shot was sort of born out of pure frustration, really. Back in 2004, when I first went to the South Rift Valley of Kenya and I moved there and lived there with my wife, on the wall of the Rift Valley Escarpment, I heard lions roar, and that really fascinated me because we were right in the heart of a community area. Mm. So we were not inside a national park like the Masai Mara or a well-known game reserve, but we were just out in the sort of Kenyan countryside with the Maasai villages sort of in the area. And I heard these lions roar. And I thought to myself, wow, that's just incredible that you still get lions out here just roaming Africa wild and free, you know. And I then set out to get a photograph of these lions. And I thought it would take me just about a week. To cut a very long story short, 16 months later, I finally got photographs of these lions, and those are the lions that appear on the cover of my coffee table book. But I will be discussing more during my talk at the Cincinnati Zoo about the whole sort of process. But eventually, to get those eye-level shots of the lions, I actually sat inside the water so that they could not hear or smell me. And it was a little bit extreme, but it worked incredibly well, and I eventually got the photo that I was after.
Really, that is remarkable. If people have not seen a watering hole in Africa, obviously there could be other animals in that water, as well as potential parasites and other things. So it was a bold move and certainly took patience. Tell a bit more about, as you and I know, the fact that, like you said, down there in those regions, it's a community of people. The Maasai live there and have for a long time.
Yes. The thing that really struck me about that area, which not a lot of people realize, but it's quite unique even for Africa, to find wildlife and humans coexisting. And you only really get it in these sort of pockets of Maasai land left in East Africa, and especially in southern Kenya. And the reason why is that, you know, most of the tribes in Africa eat meat. So where you get people, you have this conflict and you have a decimation of wildlife. But what really struck me from a South African point of view when I moved to Kenya was seeing this abundance of animals roaming sort of in amongst the same area where the Maasai are herding their cows. And this includes predators. And I just became absolutely fascinated. And there are many reasons and there are many criteria. I mean, it's a very dynamic ecosystem. But the Maasai don't eat wild meat. And for me, as a wildlife photographer, when I discovered the South Rift Valley of Kenya, It was as if I wound the clock back in time 100 years, because I found this pocket of Africa where you still get people walking in loincloths with spears herding their cattle, and you still get lions, and very often the cattle and the lions will be drinking from the same waterhole, but of course the cattle will be drinking in the daytime and the lions at night. So it's an incredibly dynamic system, and when I do my talk at the Cincinnati Zoo, I'll be just explaining a bit more about the entire area, from the lions all the way through to the Maasai culture, and just some of the incredible dynamics that make that ecosystem tick.
You mentioned that it's hard to get the shot you needed of lions. They can be very elusive or mostly active at night. But tell about some other elusive creatures you've seen. I know in your book you've got everything from birds to a wide variety of mammals and other predators.
Yes.
Who else do you have a hard time tracking down?
Yes, well, I think the hardest creature, I think I would have to say, is a leopard, just because they are so incredibly shy and elusive. Mm-hmm. And during my 16-month project, I never even saw a leopard, never mind get a shot of one. But, yeah, you know, most of the animals would come and go. But, you know, the one thing that was really special for me was just being able to sit in one place at one waterhole for 16 months. And the things I witnessed, you know, many of which I could not photograph, were just really, really incredible. You know, there was a pair of Egyptian geese at the waterhole every single day. And that particular pair of geese, I watched them mate. I watched them build a nest. I watched them raise the goslings. I watched them chase the goslings off. So this project was very much about lions, but I got to see and experience so much more, from the smallest little insect in the water all the way through to the birds and, of course, all the other antelope, and things like warthogs would come in and they would wallow inside the waterhole with me. Mm-hmm. So this project really was the highlight, I think, of my photographic career, and it's all something that I think about a lot.
Both a great adventure and certainly a great result. So it seems to me, having visited down there, the key is that the Maasai don't put up fences. They still move with the seasons, with the rains. Do you think it's possible to imagine 50 or 100 years from now that those areas would still be open?
I would have said not, but after, you know, building a relationship with Soralo and with the Rebuilding the Pride Lion project that the guys are busy with in the South Rift Valley, I now, with almost certainty, I would say that yes, I do think that this could be a long-standing relationship. The reason being is that the Maasai themselves are indigenous conservationists. So all we've got to do is look after the Maasai, and we've got to help the Maasai be Maasai instead of coming in and trying to change everything that they're doing down there. And the work that Soralo is doing and it's Rebuilding the Pride project, for me, is an absolute silver lining, you know, because I photographed in the area before any of the researchers had moved into the area. And I assumed that my lions were dead. And when I went back 7 years later, I not only found my lions again, but I discovered that, you know, when I was there, there were only 10 lions, and there are now 60 lions in that sort of area. And I am very optimistic about that particular part of Africa. And it must just be said that, you know, I think that's the only place in Africa where lion numbers are actually on the increase. The general trend for the lion population of Africa is not looking very good. But the South Rift Valley of Kenya, for me, is an exception, and I certainly hope it will be around so that people can always go to a place and experience the way Africa has always been and should be.
Absolutely. Well, Greg, thanks for taking a few minutes with us. We greatly look forward to seeing your photos and visiting with you when you come to the Cincinnati Zoo.
Fantastic. I'm looking very forward to it myself, so we'll see you there.
All right. Take care.
Great. Thanks, Ben.
My guest has been African wildlife photographer Greg Dutoy.